want to preach this morning on what it means to be called into ministry. Ephesians 4:11 says this: He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So those in this list here are gifts that God gave to the church. And then in verse 12, their purpose is explained. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church. So it is not the role of the prophets, the evangelists, the apostles, the pastors, and the teacher to do the ministry of the church. It is their role to equip the body to do the ministry of the church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. So the calling that God has on individuals as prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is an equipping call. And as there are many gifts of the Holy Spirit given and widely distributed in the church, so these are also gifts that are given, and individuals are called into these roles. Much of Ben's life since he has become a Christian has been that of evangelist. In Uganda, in the United States, Ben is one of those people, I only know a handful of them, who so easily share the gospel that it virtually tumbles out of them in almost any circumstance. A fellow I went to seminary with was like that, Peter. He would talk to anyone on the street, and not in the way all of us have been accosted by street evangelists, but differently. Peter would be talking to someone in a store, and he would just say, "So what's God doing in your life right now?" And the person would sort of startle a little bit and think, and then would say either "well" or "nothing," or "I don't believe in God," or whatever. And then Peter would engage in just a delightful conversation with them. And you never felt frightened or condescended to or accosted by Peter. Ben is like that. Ben is able to share the gospel boldly and freely and easily without feeling attacked or put upon. He really shares it like it's good news. And so I believe part of Ben's gifting is evangelism. But he has now been ordained priest. The word in Greek is presbyter or elder. And an elder in the church is a pastor and teacher. He may also be an evangelist. He may be a prophet. He may be an apostle. But he is always a pastor and a teacher, those two together. And a pastor is someone who looks after a flock. The idea is that of shepherd. Ben is now an under-shepherd, if you would, to the great shepherd, to the good shepherd, Jesus. And he's a teacher to that flock. One of the things which is different about being pastor and teacher than evangelist is that evangelists get the opportunity to share the gospel, and as people respond, there is an immediate joy, which is one of the great benefits that an evangelist is given, a joy to the response that people have. Pastor and teacher is different. Pastor and teacher is long haul. It's seen lives changed both dramatically as people turn to Christ or as people are healed, but it is also seen the lifelong process of sanctification, of being conformed to the image of Christ. And that is a much different responsibility, and in some ways I would say harder, because all of us stumble and fall. All of us have bad days and good days. And a pastor is called to hang in there through all of those, through the days when members of your congregation say, "That's about the best sermon I've ever heard. It really meant something to me, and I'm going to carry it through this week, and it's changed my life," to the days when they say, "What were you thinking? Where did you get that idea? Why did you preach about that? Or what you said there really deeply wounded me or offended me." And those are things that sometimes it means we have to correct ourselves. Sometimes it means that there is a deep wound that really needs healing, and it's going to take time. And if as a pastor and teacher we take offense too readily, too easily, then we're not there for the long haul. Now, we have to pause here and point out that in being pastor, the strength isn't ours. It doesn't come from us. Oh, we often try to make it come from us. I confess to that failing readily. We often look to ourselves and our own strength as what will sustain us through those difficult days, through those times in the hospital rooms and at the funeral parlor, and with families that just can't find God in their lives, who seem to have reeled from disaster to disaster. We try to hold in there on our own, but if we don't rely on God and His empowerment of us, we are guaranteed to burn out and to fail. Having said this as foundation, there are two specific things that I want to share with my brother Ben about ordained ministry. I shared them with him in the first service, but I promise they bear repeating again and again and again. And the first is something that my bishop said to me when I was ordained. And what he said was this: your first ministry is to your family. And no matter how successful you have been in the church, no matter how successful your ministry has been, if you fail in ministry to your family, you have failed in ministry. Now, I believe that those were extraordinarily wise words, and I believe that I have regularly failed in my ministry to my family. I think all pastors do, even those who really deeply love their family. It is not something that we will ever do to perfection. And as long as we cling to the idea that we can do it to perfection, we are guaranteed failure. But Ben, I will say to you, as I said before, that your first ministry is to Lillian and Marvel and any other children, to that family. That is your first obligation of ministry. And no matter what you do elsewhere in the church, if you fail at that, you have failed in ministry. Now, I don't say that to frighten you, but rather to focus your ministry. And further, I would say that if your ministry in your family is rich and appropriate, you will draw strength from Lillian. You will draw strength from Marvel, strength given to you through them by God that will get you through the most difficult days of the people that you are called to pastor. That's the first area and first important counsel that I will give you as you enter life of a priest. The second is this: ask for help. And again, I will confess immediately to failing at this consistently. It is very easy for someone, particularly someone gifted, and Ben is quite gifted, to rely on himself or herself in the exercise of ministry, to the exclusion of those who would love to help and be supportive. And sometimes it comes out of a sense of perfectionism. In some ways, I'm preaching to myself, not to Ben here, but I'll say this anyway, that there are many things that need to be done in the body of Christ by way of ministry. And it is the body that does the ministry. That's what the scripture here says. The role of the pastor is to equip the body to do the ministry. But it's the body that does the ministry. And so if I look to myself to make sure that all the ministry of the church gets done, not only am I looking in the wrong place, not only am I setting myself up for certain failure, I am also not doing what I've been assigned to do, which is to equip the body to minister. And so ask for help. Now, I want to relate in my own life a story of my own failure to do this, because it just happened. About a week ago, I got an email from Mary Jane. Did she go downstairs? She just went down. Oh, there she is, up there. I got an email from Mary Jane, and it said, "Dear George, I resign as worship leader in the church. And the reason I'm sending this to you in an email is because if I said it face to face, you'd talk me out of it." She said, the load of just being wife and mom is too great right now to do that well, ministry to the family, and also be worship leader in the church. I just can't do both right now. And she said, but I might at some point in the future want to help in the worship leadership if you'll have me. And I wrote her back and said, basically, this is okay with me. This is the right decision. I would rather that you do those things that you have to do than cause you pain or cause you to stumble. It's never my desire to do that. And so do this. Be wife and mother with my blessing. Then I went and saw Mary Jane and spent a little time talking to her Wednesday morning, I think. Wasn't it Wednesday morning, Mary Jane?
Yeah.
Wednesday morning. And I basically said again, it's okay to do this. We'll get by. Now, since the conference last May, we have stumbled rather inelegantly in trying to do our music worship and trying to figure out who's in charge and how are they in charge and who's participating and all of that. We've been inelegant in it. But Adelia has stepped into the role on Wednesday mornings and is blossoming. Sunday mornings. What did I say? Sunday morning. Yeah. She has a great time here on Wednesday mornings by herself. The praise is great on Wednesday mornings. You also get a lot of grief from your congregation. Ben, I just thought I'd point that out. I believe Adelia is really blossoming. And I told Mary Jane that she was making the right decision, that when we need help, we need to ask for it. At the end of our meeting, Mary Jane said to me, "George, I have something to say to you. Why don't you lean into your church for help? Why don't you call your intercessors up? Why don't you ask for help? You're sort of good at giving this advice. How about following your own advice?" And I said to Mary Jane, "This is a good word, and I will take it away and, you know, think about it, pray about it, whatever." I went back to the office that morning and was sitting in my office with my secretary, Terry. And she said, "George, do you need help at the church?" And I said, "Yeah, I really do. I really need help." She said, "You need an assistant or someone to help you with the ministry there, don't you?" And I said, "I really do." And it was the first time that I'd said that out loud. It was the first time I said out loud, "I really need help." That afternoon, now remember, Mary Jane has been leading worship on Wednesday nights, even though Adelia has been doing Sunday morning. And now she stopped doing it on Wednesday nights with this resignation. That very afternoon, I got an email from Randy Fisk. And his email said, "Mary and I have been praying. We've been meeting with the pastors and elders of our church. We really feel led to come and join the ministry at your church. How can we help?" That fast. Duh. I mean, this is what I preach and teach everybody else. Be willing to ask for help. God is waiting for you to ask for help. And in some ways, I think he's teaching us to do that by responding only when we finally wise up enough to open our mouth and say, "I need help." So I met with Randy Friday. And he will be coming and leading worship on Wednesday nights. in this church. So he's met Mary Jane's prayer and my prayer. I didn't even know that he and Mary were praying. I didn't even know they were meeting with the pastors and elders of their church. God was busy getting ready to answer the prayer if I would just open my dumb mouth and speak and set forth the need for help. And I finally, my wife will testify to this. Look, she's shaking her head. I am often very thick. This thick, she's showing, you know, about a foot thick. So I met with Randy on Friday. He's coming here and will be teaching and leading worship on Wednesday nights. We are going to prepare probably a 20-week-long series of teachings on Wednesday nights, which will be 15 to 20-minute teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, on the healing of memories, the healing of families, and a whole variety of topics. They will all be published in advance so people can come on the night that a topic is of interest to them. And there will be a variety of teachers, not just Randy. Randy will be one of the people teaching. Randy and Mary will be here every other Sunday to join in our ministry together on Sunday mornings, and they will also join us at our retreat on January 11th. All of this happened like that because we asked for help. And so, Ben, that's my strong counsel to you. Ask for help. Ask for help. Ask for help. And remind me to ask for help, because I have trouble remembering it myself. I encourage you, after you go home today, to open up the book of Ephesians and read the whole fourth chapter. Read the whole fourth chapter. But let me just repeat these verses again. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. All of us are called into ministry. The call into ministry is by no means reserved to those who become ordained. The call into ministry is for every member of the body of Christ. Truly, it is the priesthood of all believers. It's literally what Scripture says, that each of us is a priest, the same word used when Jesus is described as the great high priest. The priest that I am in the church, the priest that Ben is now, is a different word in Greek. And it's presbyteros. It means elder. It means pastor and teacher, one who cares for the flock in order to equip them to do the ministry of the church. So the call of God for ministry is on each and every one of us, everyone sitting here listening, as well as Ben and me and others who are ordained by the church to certain teaching roles and equipping roles. All of us are called. And we would do well to look every place in Scripture where it talks about ministry, because ministry is given to the body of Christ. We are all called to it. Until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Ben, brother, welcome to the role of ordained ministry. We thank God that you will be pastor and teacher and equipper. And we pray that you will be loving father and husband, and that you will ask for help. That's how you call others into ministry, by asking for help. Amen.